So, what I've decided to do today is to attempt to review a pamphlet I've been sent from Chris Pusateri. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Pusateri. And it's quite an unusual looking object. And I'm just going to sort of spontaneously see what I can make of it. First thing you notice about it is that the cover seems to be made, well, is in fact made from a brown paper bag that's been folded and stapled, and on the outside Chris, presumably in his own hand, has written the title Semblance, with a sort of thin felt tip pen, and inside we have sort of two pieces of paper that have been folded to make sort of 8 pages here, are there? Yeah, 8 pages, printed on one side each. And actually, having a look through, I notice at the back that we have some details, a postscript, a typed postscript at the back, telling me that that this has been created out of a brown paper lunch sack, the kind that we don't really have in the UK, but I know common in America. And so that's kind of a material that I suppose you would throw away, really, is very cheap and designed to be thrown away, just used once. And that the paper is, it says here, government issue £20 recycled printer paper. So I guess a kind of an everyday cheap paper. And I think that says something, doesn't it, about the object, that this is something which is and looks and feels sort of quite improvised and cheaply produced, but not in a negative kind of way, that's a very deliberate decision to just use some very cheap materials that are to hand in order to create this object. And it says here also that the pamphlet is handwritten. I mean, it's actually photocopied, looking at the pages, but you can see that it has originally been handwritten, because Chris says the original font choice is something of a dying typography. Interesting, that idea then again of using not kind of high technology here, but a very basic technology, perhaps writing with, we're told, a fine point black Sharpie. I'm guessing that's a kind of felt tip pen, it looks like. Oh, and it says here also that this is the first, I'm holding the copy number 1 of 60 numbered copies, so I'm not sure where the other 59 are, or how you would get hold of one, although there is an email address here at the back, which is naanabozho@gmail.com. So that's kind of Naanabozho or something. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but if anybody wants to get hold of this, I'm sure that they could email there. And this text at the back also tells me that this is written using lines and fragments taken from the texts of other Doozy authors, D-U-S-I-E. That's clearly the publisher. Doesn't say what relationship Chris has to Doozy. I presume he's one of their authors. Okay, so that's all the information we're given. There's a list of the poets that the language has been taken from. which I won't read here. Okay, so there is a bit of explanation as to why this is a collage of other people's words. Chris says, the language of others is used because this compels him to be more attentive and a more attentive and diligent reader of those listed above. Okay. Well, I haven't had the benefit, I have to say, of reading these authors, so it will be interesting to see what relationship Chris's text, Chris's poem semblance has for me, perhaps as an introduction to their work. Well, it isn't clear where the individual quotations, I suppose they are, where they come from, so it might be difficult for me to find my way back from those words to the authors and maybe buy one of their books or find out more about them. So this isn't like an anthology then, is it? It's not telling me, yeah, here's a poem by X or here are a couple of poems by X, read those and you know you may want to find out more about them. So yeah, I find it's not clear to me yet how to approach this this text, but I'll give it a go. In fact, when we open up the little booklet itself, which I have to say feels great in the hands, actually. I love the quality of the brown paper. There's something very warm and kind of sort of homespun about it that I like a lot. It sort of reminds me of, you know, people making fanzines and kind of sometimes making little magazines as teenagers, that kind of slightly punk aesthetic of, you know, sticking things together and photocopying them, which of course people don't do so much now because everybody's got desktop publishing and laser printers and what have you and can produce high-end looking stuff, but this feels much more kind of handmade and homemade. And when we open it up, we see that actually the poem itself is really only on two pages, because the final page with text on it is the postscript that I was talking about a moment ago, and the first page is the title page. So yeah, it's actually quite a short poem. In fact, do you know what, I think I might actually just read it out and see where we go from there. Not the Union exactly, but the war against they, naysayers. For what is love but falling? A realization that half the trees are weeds. Sometimes I pick up the phone and there is a person saying, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks, no thanks, I refuse musk and or sea salt. And I would add that we ought not to be singing lullabies while the US is incarcerating the other your footprints could be, was instructed to testify as to what she did, not what she thought. Our density increases until we take this hindsight as far from the truth as the truth is. Not already the bride of wildness, open from the force of the impact, weightless I wait for its unhurried dirge. Did the mind matter to you? Run up and touch it. A secret you are to yourself. Cover cracks with cupcake frosting, sprawling cornfields and John Deere dealerships, maybe Winston Reds or Records. That book exploded the world for me. We separate wanting and loving with an easy sieve. Better one or two. The pattern is called undulating twill. Sing certainty or mass gatherings, totality, with you falling, falling, hurtling big. They bend, fall like children, cost on, cost off, year on year, leads to new things, or is happiness. Okay, so that's the entire poem. I'm not sure where I stand on copyright there, but I'm going to leave that as it is, and think about the way that the poem looks on the page. So we've got sort of irregular stanzas, all the text except for a couple of phrases. Those repeated no thanks in the earlier part of the poem are slightly indented to the right, but otherwise the text is indented is justified, in fact, to the left margin. And I felt there was sort of something Ashbery-like about the whole thing. It has a very postmodern feel about it. It feels like we're sort of moving in and out of particular thoughts that are being expressed. There's no clear narrative as such, although there is a kind of a movement, I suppose. There's lots of reference to falling, things cracking, things exploding, so the general sense of entropy, perhaps things coming apart. We have politics beneath, kind of bubbling up occasionally, reference to the US incarcerating. It isn't said who they're incarcerating, but we can imagine that. There's that very American feel to it, with reference to sort of rural America, sprawling cornfields, John Deere dealerships, and reference to the economy as well in places, perhaps coming through. But the idea at the end of leading to new things or happiness emerging. So there's a very definitely kind of ambiguous, I don't want to use the cliche bittersweet, but I'll go there. There we go. I've used it anyway. And you know, now I'm thinking about it, that sort of I don't know the poets who write for this press, but I'm starting to feel like I would quite like to know some of them a bit better. Actually, although this isn't an anthology, as I've said, I am now getting the sense of what this press is maybe about, that it feels, at least from this poem, like there is an engagement with the kind of national psyche, if you like, with the idea of America, of the that kind of the possibility of new things or happiness still being quite strong, even though there is this sense of that being endangered or things falling apart, that things are not right. And I've enjoyed the way that mood is evoked here by drawing on other people's words. I mean, it would be interesting if that was possible here, to actually make reference to some of these poets and say, okay, to you know, to what extent is that a representative kind of feeling about what they're doing, and to what extent is this, you know, Chris Pusateri's take on what these poets are about collectively. And I think that's kind of quite an altruistic undertaking, isn't it, that Chris has attempted here, to sort of use this little object to give readers a sense of what these other poets might have in common, or how reading them together, taking them together, might sort of give us a sense of a particular view of the world, which, if they don't exactly share, that this process of kind of collage has helped to construct. So yes, I've actually got quite a bit out of that, in terms of the text itself, which, you know, it looks at first glance quite opaque, but I think that process of actually reading it out has opened it up for me, and it's also been quite productive in terms of, you know, wanting to know more about what the poets of Ducie Press get up to, and I'm sure that I will be looking out for their publications in the future, and also looking out for Chris Pusateri's work. So an incredible little object that does an enormous amount of work, I would say. So if you do manage to track down somewhere out there in the world any of the other 59 numbered copies that Chris has created, then I would thoroughly recommend that.